The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Thank you for being here. How is everybody?
How are you?
Am I talking too loud?
How's it going? You know, happy Monday.
Because it was St. Patrick's Day and everything like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that.
That's why. I've
hungover?
Talking too. Yeah.
That's okay. Thing. Yeah. All right. We'll try and be quiet then. If you're hungover from drinking on a Sunday. All right.
Not me.
No.
I didn't start drinking till the show started, so that was Monday.
Well, that's it. It's important to focus on the work at hand.
Yes.
Where's my bourbon?
Well, I mean, I did go to our employer, our company, and say, look, if 50% of the people working from home are drinking, why can't 25% of the people that actually go to work drink too? I'm Irish.
Right. The other 50% are liars.
Did any of the liberal woke Irish come out against St. Patrick's Day over the weekend? Remember that happened a couple of years ago? It was somebody in government in New York City area.
Yeah.
That came out and said all of these insults and bigotry towards the Irish needs to stop, all of these Irish jokes.
Yeah.
From someone who has looked at the family tree and, as far as I can tell, am as close to being 100% Irish as you can be from both sides of the family. Because
family didn't get out much, did it?
Well, no, the goal, I don't know if I can say this with a straight face, but I have to. I started it. But the goal was to preserve the white Irish Catholic race. The purity of I am the result of the purity.
You're right. Well, we see how all that worked out. This is how it goes, huh? All right. Well,
if you're looking for the purity of any race, just look my way.
Yeah, look no further. It's all right here on full display. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny stuff.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way. I just thought that as we were talking. That's the danger of having too much time to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I did my DNA through Ancestry, and then it came back, and it's funny because It's Scottish on both sides, and I'm 60, according to the numbers, 61%, according to my DNA.
Scottish.
Well, yeah. It first started at like 24, and I'm thinking, well, see, that's kind of how us Scots work. We we don't want to admit it. We'll just slowly increase it. And then it was 40, and then maybe 42, maybe. On a good day, maybe it's 50, maybe. But I'm not going to admit it. It's, you know, we just kind of slowly have to resign to the, okay, great, fine, whatever. That's kind of how it looks. Yeah, I never was, I don't remember ever being motivated on a St. Patrick's Day scale of, you know, like going to a party or going to a bar or something. Now, being in radio, we had events at, you know,
oh yeah,
different bars and everything else. That was just part of it. But me, myself, is, you know, hey, man, I can't wait to go drink some beer or whiskey or whatever. It just wasn't.
My favorite, because you're right, I've actually, I don't think I've ever been. No, I went out one time. One time I went out for St. Patrick's Day and saw some old friends.
Yeah.
And the funny story about that is I really didn't drink much, but I was there. I'll just put it this way. My best friend married my girlfriend's old best friend. So I still see her, and we get along fine.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, we show up at the party, everybody was there, you know, because it's like, hey, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and it was still, you know, we're fine. I mean, there's no problem. That was, good God, 40-something years ago. Mm-hmm. But her husband was there, and he had a little bit too much to drink. And so afterwards, a guy came and was harassing us. Well, he took a swing at this guy, and his wife, my ex, thought we were fighting.
Oh.
Are you guys fighting over me? No, we're fighting. He's throwing a punch at that guy.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
But the other one was when it was our flagship station, WBAP.
Mm.
And it was like somebody came up with a bright idea. Hey, Gary, you're like Irish. How much Irish are you? My name's McNamara.
Yeah. Do you not know my last name?
Yeah. We got a band and everything. And so went to this Irish bar. Mm. And I knew the owners of the bar.
Right.
So it was actually a very, very fun time,
mm-hmm.
but it got to be insane because you know how packed it gets and say people are wall to wall. Well, our broadcasting table, there were people all over, there were people laying on the table. I mean, and then this horribly drunk woman while I was on the air.
Of course.
Of course. Hey, you're oh, man, it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It's really not good. It's
the downside.
And I think at that time I said, you know, we need to have security at these things.
Right. Or maybe some distance.
Which is, you need to, well, in order to get distance, the bar was mobbed. And we were out on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, but you couldn't move. You couldn't go. I mean, it was just, it was wall. I think they probably maybe might have broken some fire laws there.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. She was like sitting on my lap. I'm on the air trying to talk into the microphone doing a show. Like, and then George W. Bush, because he was back then.
Yeah.
Bush? I hate Bush.
Yeah. I've been there in a couple of settings where hotel lobby one time. Well, when you're doing an all-night show, there's this thing that happens in a hotel lobby around 2 a.m. And let's just say the foot traffic in the lobby changes along with the mouth traffic in the lobby. And it can be interesting. Yeah. And that was just from our own staffers.
Three times, because it happened there. It happened when I was at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. Guy came up and just screaming at me.
Oh, no, I've had that happen.
Yeah, just screaming at me.
Yeah.
And you're trying to talk into the microphone. And the thing is, you're trying not to stop talking because the microphone, as we know, there's the so-called limiter compression on it.
A noise gate.
Mm-hmm. Right. So as you're if you continue talking, it sort of blocks out anybody else. If you stop, the person who may be 10 feet away sounds like they're talking into the microphone.
Right. Yeah. It picks up.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I'm trying to keep just talking, as you probably can hear a little bit in the background. And this guy's just railing at me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually listeners in line that pulled him back. And then the other was when we did the State Fair of Texas one time. Guy just screaming at me, just screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
In those situations.
Right.
In this environment today, no. Unless I'm doing it from a Brink security truck.
Exactly.
Here's our mobile studio. It's a Brink security truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You'll find out how solid those things are very quickly.
But, yeah, some of the St. Patrick's Day stuff was just.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Those were zoos when you did those live broadcasts.
Yeah.
And as music stations when you did them. Oh. At least you could go into the record.
Well, yeah, most of mine were at clubs, so people were there. It wouldn't matter, quite frankly, if it were St. Patrick's Day or Easter Sunday. They're, you know, it's a nightclub. They're there to drink. It's not a bar and grill,
right?
And so that made it, I don't know, it seemed more typical of what a nightclub would be. And the one I remember was this huge, you know, it's Texas, huge country and western nightclub, and it was always a lot of fun. But it, you know, I mean, it's just that one added thing. When you're going out on, you know, especially in a small town, you're going out to have drinks and have a good time and do some dancing. You don't need one more excuse to drink, right? It's like, oh, yeah, but it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and so you kind of add to that. But I do remember a couple of others that were in bars and grills, bar and grill. So, yeah, that really small space of a cool bar. You know, these are cool bars, but jam-packed with people.
Thing I like about the Irish, most of them aren't woke.
Well, they're woke most... in a different way, and you don't have to ask them their opinion. They'll give it to you.
Oh, that's true. But, I mean, some of the funniest, you know, ethnic jokes to me are the Irish stuff, you know, the ones that imply drinking. I mean, they're
right.
hilarious. I mean, the first time I heard, what was it, what's a seven-course meal for an Irish person? Six-pack of beer and a potato, you know, I mean, those are the...
Oh, I was going to do a six-pack and a shot.
Okay. Or, I mean, when you, but I remember when there was some city council person in Irish, only time I've ever heard it, you know, come on, say, we need to stop this bigotry towards the Irish.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, what's he talking about? He goes, the jokes. It's like, and all the, you know, the insults. And then I realized the leprechaun. Think about the leprechaun movies. Think about that. I mean, think about another race where they make up a make-believe character who is greedy and less Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
You know, how unfair is that? And did you know that the term the Fighting Irish came from an insult of Notre Dame?
Yeah, right.
It was not a compliment. This came from what the fans, they call them the Fighting Irish. That was an insult directed and an ethnic insult directed at the Irish.
And they embraced it.
And they embraced it.
And ran with it.
Yep.
The mascot has both fists up in the air. I mean, yeah.
Well, it's all, you know, I just.
Yeah. Well, it's just so many times we take way too many. In fact, it's almost always take things too seriously. And this is. The benefit of growing older is that you realize, well, there are a lot of things in life that are very serious. And it's also okay to have a little fun responsibly.
Right. Like, and I always post on my Facebook page the, you know, the Irish yoga thing. And it's people, it looks like they're stretched out, and you realize, no, they're just on the floor in uncomfortable positions because they're all passed out drunk. There's bottles like Irish yoga. You know?
That's funny.
And no, we're not advocating that.
No, drink responsibly.
It's the fact of, you know, they're just, you have a great sense of humor.
Right.
That's
it's,
all.
It's just, it's a joke.
Things can be funny and directed at yourself.
Yeah,
some of
sure.
the best comedians are the self-deprecating ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it really is. Again, it's when you see people getting upset about something, it's like, all right, here we go. That's actually become entertainment itself. It's when someone is offended.
It's like, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. When that one council person one time, we need to stop this Irish bigotry on St. Patrick's Day, and nobody paid attention.
Exactly.
To them. It's like, nah, we're going to continue with it.
Yeah, no, it's going to continue.
I still, though, have never had corned beef and cabbage, ever.
Yeah.
People can't believe it. They go, you're kidding me. I go, no.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't know.
Right.
If I was out somewhere and somebody was serving it, I went, give me the cheeseburger instead.
Right.
I know it's in the cheeseburger.
Yeah, right.
And no, nobody ever made it at home. I mean, it was never like an I don't remember my mom ever making like Irish dishes in any way. It just.
Right. You know. Yeah. So. No, you just cook dinner, whatever the family liked to eat. It usually, back in our day, it was about within a household. I mean, this is what we have. This is kind of our overall menu, some of the items, and that was pretty much it, you know? And I don't remember corned beef and cabbage at home ever. I think we had corned beef one time. I think we made sandwiches with it, but it wasn't a...
Any haggis in your family?
No.
I just remembered Mike Myers and...
No.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah. No.
By the way, when I...
I saw somebody talking about it the other day, though, and I was like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, when I was thinking of St. Patrick's Day yesterday and you being a Scot, I was just thinking of what Mike Myers, as the father of Mike Myers... How he wanted to celebrate when it was time to celebrate the wedding.
Yeah.
I can't say it on the air, but
yeah.
Every time I hear that, I think of you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Back in January of 2023, average retail prices for eggs peaked at about $4.80 a dozen, partly the results of avian influenza, the bird flu, that resulted in the losses of millions of egg-laying chickens. After January 23, egg prices began a steady downward trend, and
prices for eggs are still down significantly from where they were at their peak early last year.
But USDA economist Megan Schweitzer says egg prices this year have started to climb again. They went up last month 8.5%. They're now averaging $2.92 a dozen compared to $2.28 a year ago.
Largely because new cases of avian influenza were detected at the end of last year in November and December.
The laying flock currently about 1% smaller than a year ago because of bird flu. However,
we haven't seen many cases in February and March so far this year. So if that trend continues, that could be good news for egg prices down the line.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Why did the media and the White House respond, to the Trump speech the other day, where he used the term bloodbath, was talking about the automobile industry, and if China gets to sell cars through Mexico, the bloodbath that it would cause economically and job-wise in the American auto industry? Why they jumped on and lied about that? Why were they so quick when it was obvious? Because they haven't backed off yet. But it's so obvious they're going to get pounded on it. Advantage Republicans. Why would they do that? We'll tell you.
You're listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. You know, we talked about the Fannie Willis disqualification case earlier. We've talked about how when Trump was at the rally the other day and was talking about the automobile industry and China and tariffs on China vehicles, if they try to dump, cars in the United States, and what he would do, and said, if I'm not elected, basically, if Biden's in charge, there's going to be a bloodbath in that industry. You know, that's what when he said the bloodbath, the beginning and end, always related to the automobile industry. And as we know, they immediately took off and went crazy about it, and tried to imply that Trump was referring to, if I'm not elected, there'll be January 6th type of violence, a bloodbath, you know, like January 6th. January 6th was not a bloodbath, right, but this is what they're attempting to promote in, you know, in the future. And it's like, we all knew as soon as you saw it, because, you know, like most of us, we probably were out and about doing things, and we saw that the mainstream media jumped on it, the Biden campaign jumped on it, took everything out of context as to what he said, and then you started seeing they all got blasted. I know, for example, it was Elon Musk who caught Scarborough, Joe Scarborough, with his post, called him on it. And then Scarborough apparently deleted the post, according to Elon Musk, because he knew it wasn't accurate. None of it was accurate. You know, why would they do that? I was reading NBC here. Behind the scenes, Biden has grown angry and anxious about his reelection effort. This is NBC News. in a private meeting at the White House in January. Allies of the president looked at his poll numbers in Michigan and Georgia and saw that they had dropped over the handling of the war between Israel and Hamas. Both are battleground states. He narrowly won 4 years ago when he can't afford any backsliding if he is once again to defeat Donald Trump. Biden began to shout and swear. Lawmakers familiar with the meeting said he believed he had been doing what was right despite the political fallout, he told the group. Asked about the episode, Andrew Bates, a White House spokesperson, said Biden makes national security decisions based on the country's national security needs alone, no other factor. And they go on about just how angry he is about a ton of other issues. He just doesn't get it, does he? He just, you know, the party doesn't get it. The media doesn't get it. Everything that you saw this weekend showed they just don't get it.
Well, a couple things. We can go back to the very beginning of this and you know, when he ran in 2020, Biden was not the candidate really that the left wanted. But it's what the left got. I mean, you know, it went through the primary process and he became the candidate, but and that's how it works. But really, when you look at how everything played out and now where we are today, the majority of his own party does not want him to be the candidate. And he's always been angry and defiant. But I mean, in later years, over the last 4 to 5 years, even more so. And when things aren't going his way, it's even worse. And they haven't given, the liberal media shows up every single day wanting the talking points. And this administration isn't even helping their own side in that way. Give us something to take to our readers and our viewers on talking points. We're willing to carry the water. You're not giving us any water. And then Biden's frustrated as to how it's going. And we haven't even talked about the issues. And now, in recent weeks, this bizarre thing of, oh, he's more energetic than anybody I know. Yep. And trying to defend him in weird ways, trying to make it seem like the obvious isn't actually happening. The economy's great. All these things where they're trying to take this huge, heaping, steaming pile of a mess that he and his own party have created and shape it into something. And of course he's going to be angry. Of course he's going to be angry when things aren't going his way and he just believes people don't get it.
Well, you see right here, because and I'm not reading the entire story, it's a pretty long story, but Biden has long, this is from NBC, Biden has long believed that he isn't getting sufficient credit for an economy that has created 15 million new jobs. Well, that's false. And he's used that many times.
Yeah.
Why don't people give him credit? Because people understand you didn't create those jobs. Those were jobs that came after the jobs were lost in COVID. Those were people, simply people returning to those jobs. People understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You apparently don't.
Right.
Looking to reach distracted voters who may be tuning in, he told his speechwriters before the State of the Union address to tone down some of the lofty rhetoric and plainly lay out what he's done, a person familiar with speech preparation said. By the way, I believe whoever that source was lying.
Yeah.
During internal discussions, he'll press aides about which parts of his record to highlight in different states, said a second person who was familiar with the matter. You mean you don't know? Surrounded by protective aides who want to minimize the chances of a flub, the president does not like the restraints that he sees as a counter to his natural instincts as a retail politician, a third person familiar with the internal discussion said. He has felt cocooned at times, because he is, and he's been eager to get out more, well, then do it. You're the president.
Right.
If there's nothing wrong with you, do it.
Right.
What is this? What is this? He's the president of the United States. We're told there's nothing wrong with him, that none of his aides, nobody can keep up with him. Then this isn't like it's Fox writing this. This is NBC, and it's saying that Biden feels helpless, that his aides won't let him do anything. He's president of the damn United States of America. He can do whatever the hell he wants if he wants to.
You know, the other day, hey, am I allowed to take questions?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to? Just, and then they, after days of going on about how much energy he has, and sorry, but, you know, again, it shows right now, it's, they're all in denial.
Well, is this, and this is NBC News, is this entire BS? Is all of this just feeding lies to sit there and say, he wants to get out and do it. He really wants to get out and do it. He really wants to get out and do it. He's upset that he can't get out and do it. It's his aides. Is this where they're left with right now, the media? Because right now, I mean, after you've seen, and it was NBC, ABC, CBS, everybody lied about what Trump said the other day. Mm-hmm. So are they willing to just continue with these stories to pretend that the president is just this vibrant person who was upset of the restraints? Because when you look at it, there are no restraints. If he has all his cognitive abilities, as they say he does, he's so energetic that nobody in his cabinet or none of his aides can keep up with him, we're being told. Well, why can't he say, I'm going to go out and do a press conference every day?
Well, this is what this is where I think NBC should go. Follow up on this story and ask to anybody at the White House. You can start with KJP and say, hey, we're told his aides don't want him to go anywhere. And we're told he's and we know, liberal media, we know he's great and he's fine. He's got plenty. Why aren't you guys letting him out? Yeah. Why aren't you guys letting him campaign?
We read the NBC story.
Exactly. That should be the question.
He has felt cocooned at times and been eager to get out more, meet voters face-to-face, and take the fight directly to Trump, said a third person and a fourth familiar with the matter, who, like others, spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss campaign strategy and the president's private views. There are signs that some within his party are losing patience with him. Said Representative Adam Smith, Biden stood up in front of the whole world and said, I'm ready. I'm the guy who can take down Donald Trump. So he, GD, well better do it.
Mm.
We don't have time for him to be worried about whether or not people are saying things right or the poll numbers are where they should be. I want focused energy and not defensive anger. Boy, the State of the Union passed very quickly, didn't it?
It's reality. You can't make it something that it is not. You're telling people that what you see, what they see, is not reality, and that, I guess, behind closed doors, he's energetic and everything's fine. But we all know why they're not letting him out.
And look at this here. Again, NBC. At times, Biden gets suggestions that conflict with one another. Some advisors have told him he should walk faster out of concern that his gait feeds impressions that he is too old, and yet the White House is sufficiently worried about him tripping that he has taken to boarding Air Force One via the shorter staircase through the belly of the plane, foregoing the iconic image of a president waving from the main doorway high above the tarmac. You know, I never realized the difference in that impression when you're high up,
mm-hmm.
and you turn around and you wave.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. He's probably a little mad at himself for not being more forceful with the staff, a person said. Privately, Biden questions whether he should trust his gut instincts over the guidance coming from an array of advisors tending to his political interest. The man's been successful for decades in Congress. This is where it gets into BS to me, because we're told he has all the cognitive abilities of anybody else.
Right. Nothing is wrong.
And nothing's wrong, but completely disagreed with the special counsel.
Yeah.
And what we hear from everybody on whenever you have anyone, any of his aides, anyone on any of the Sunday morning news shows, whenever his cabinet's on, they say he has so much energy and he is such a critical thinker and he has so many things on his mind, you just can't keep up with him. That's the problem. Even though I'm half his age, I just can't keep up with him.
By the way,
that's a lie.
I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's clear that somebody is trying to retrain him on how to walk. Because his steps aren't natural. When he was on the, when he made the visit to the border, and they had some of the photo op video that came out, you can look at it. He doesn't walk heel to toe in a natural way. And he walks in a very deliberate way that looks like he's been retrained, or they're going through, okay, to make sure that you don't trip, you need to deliberately lift your feet a little bit higher, and that's how he walks. And sometimes he does shuffle, but you can tell at times he's trying to focus on actually how he's walking.
But what about the substance of what he should promote? This is the only thing they really have. Mary Landrieu, former Democratic senator from Louisiana and a Biden supporter, asked about Biden's inability to get credit for legislation meant to revive American high-tech manufacturing and upgrade the country's roads and bridges. She said, I think that's actually a bit of a failure of the communication of the part of the White House. Mm-hmm. Nearly $4 billion in clean energy products are underway in Louisiana under a bill that Biden ushered into law called the Inflation Reduction Act, a title that doesn't capture the measure's real purpose. That's the story to tell, Landrieu said. It's a willing message about jobs, prosperity, and evolution. See, that's the delusion of the Democrats.
Yep.
They believe that saying we're going to spend your taxpayer dollars on solar and wind is the winning message to win the election.
Right.
It's the only issue that they bring up in this entire article. It's the issues.
Yep. And that's a loser of an issue.
It's the economy, stupid.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. I really am waiting to do tomorrow's show. I just want to see the response of the Republicans, the cross-examination of this entire, as we call it, bloodbath Monday. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it might have been a bloodbath politically for the Democrats over the weekend and the media, because I haven't seen anybody back off from, well, no, they're doubling down on the fact, no, here's what Trump meant. And it was absolutely crystal clear he was talking about the automobile industry.
Yep.
When he said bloodbath, and they're trying to make it, Trump's going to cause a bloodbath January 6th mm-hmm. if he doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse than January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what he said.
No.
And so, just like the Fannie Willis case that isn't going to go away because she's still there, and they can pound on her every day, the same thing here, because the Republicans and the Trump campaign have the truth on their side as to what he actually said.
Yep.
And it exists.
Yep.
On video to watch.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.